Hi everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Benching in the Kitchen. Please remember to share, to subscribe, to comment on any of the podcast platforms. Follow us on Spotify, Stitcher, I mean just about any platform. I hope that this interview is encouraging and guides you to have a deep relationship with Jesus daily. Thank you so much for tuning in and enjoy the interview. Hi everyone, thank you so much for listening to another episode, and this will be actually on season two. So we thank you so much for everything you've done for us, all the support, all the love, and we hope that we're making a difference in your lives. Today I have a great, amazing brother in Christ that's going to share with us. Could you tell us your name, please?
My name's Tony Funderburk.
Well, thank you, Tony, for accepting this invitation to the podcast. We met through an amazing site, and I'm so happy that you're here. Can't wait to hear your perspective. And as every interview, we begin discussing one verse that I think fits in with Benching in the Kitchen and what we're trying to do. So I'll read that to you, and I just want to get your perspective, what you're understanding, and that's it. This comes from Philippians 2:12, and it speaks, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." How does that speak to you, Tony?
Well, it comes from Paul, of course. Being a Gentile, he's my favorite writer in the book, in the Bible. And there he's talking about the Philippians, who he has, you know, basically led to the Lord. And in his presence, they've done a good job. And he wants them to know that when he leaves, that he wants them to continue to work out their salvation. Not in the way that they are, that's been worked out by the Lord, justification, justified, but in the way that they need to continue to work out what they're learning and what they're knowing. And that fear and trembling isn't like a slavish kind of fear. It means to, you know, like you want to, you're afraid of what would happen if you didn't continue. It's that kind of thing. And so Paul is really encouraging his followers there in Philippians, to work that out, to continue, not be disheartened at the fact that he's not going to be with them. But he knows that they can continue, and he wants to encourage them to do that.
Well, thank you for that. I also agree. Paul's one of my favorite writers. He wrote so many love letters. And in that too, he wrote a lot of correction and inspiration. And you know, I love how you said that the fear and trembling is not what we're used to, the definition, right? The secular, this worldly definition. It has a different definition. You know, Psalms and Proverbs speak that the wisdom begins with fear and trembling of the Lord, right? So I just love how he always says that. So thank you so much for that, Tony. That was amazing. We don't know much about you. You know, we want to get to know you. I know the listeners will be curious. Tell us something about you. Where do you work? If you're married, if you have kids, and what church do you attend to?
I do work from home. I do client work online in addition to my own business projects. And I am married. My wife and I are working on our 31st year of marriage together. And we didn't have kids. We didn't have that blessing, but for about 15 of our years together, we had two dogs that looked just like me, so we did have that. we are in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and we lived for a long time up in the Denver area, and we still attend a church there when we can make it, Denver Bible Church up there. And I guess my relationship with Jesus began long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It was I was 13, and I always tell the story about my grandmother telling me every Sunday to go up there when the preacher would ask, you know, the call to come up. Every head bowed, every eye closed, come up and pray with me, that kind of thing. And as a little kid, I was able to resist every single time, but at 13, my grandmother came to my dad's house, and she had a private talk with me, and I gave my heart to the Lord at 13. So it's been a long time, and I like to tell people, yep, ever since then, I've lived a perfect life. It's just the way it works, right?
Thank you.
I wish.
Yeah, it's You know, and that's just because we're Christians doesn't mean everything gets easier, right? Sometimes it gets even more difficult. Oh, but, you know, I love the promises that it's what I tell people. It's like, maybe things won't change. Maybe things will change. I have no clue. I don't know His will. I don't think anybody on this earth knows, and they shouldn't know. God knows. But it's one of those things that it just, you know where to run to. You know, there's a lot of us hurting, and we don't know where to run to. And when you become a Christian, you at least know where to run to. You know that Jesus will be right there for you. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure. He never leaves you nor forsakes you.
Never, never. This next part, you know, we want to talk about how do your day runs and how do you involve God, Jesus, in your life. So let's talk about the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning. What is it?
I do my best to go ahead and wake up. That's not always the easiest thing to do, but I am usually up at 4 or maybe even a little before. And that's my time sort of by myself. My wife sleeps longer than me. Maybe it's because she's given me that grace, or maybe she just needs the sleep. You know, the ladies have the beauty sleep. But I get to spend some time studying what I want to write about. I'll figure out something maybe that deals with current events and how can I apply scripture to that. And I'll write my post for the day based on that. And then eventually I wake my wife up. I make coffee for her every morning and we have our morning talk, which we love. And then I get to work for clients. I do client work till about lunch. Then I break for lunch and then I finish up my client work. And the rest of the afternoon and evening, I work on my own business projects till dinner. And then my wife and I usually have our time together at that point too.
Awesome. Do you set time apart to read scripture, to pray, to call others, to check on them throughout the day? Do you have a specific time?
I would say that it still falls into that early morning category. I don't obviously call anybody at 4. People don't tend to like that, but I wouldn't either probably. But it's typically morning times when I can do that, have that time, because generally once I get into the work time, even though I work from home, I try to keep more like business hours, you know. So in other words, if I went to an office, I wouldn't necessarily be able to take personal calls all the time. So I give myself that discipline here too. But I do try to be flexible because, you know, for some reason the whole world doesn't revolve around me and my schedule. I don't know why that is yet, but still working on that.
Yeah. If you find out how, let me know.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you an email real quick on that. But that's the way, you know, it's good to be flexible because sometimes, you know, a friend has a problem or maybe you need an answer. And it's good to know that you have certain friends anyway that you could call at a moment's notice or they can call you.
Amazing. What is it about scripture that you find interesting that you apply it daily? What motivates you to read it?
The way I like to say it is very, very succinct. I know the source of life is also the source of answers for life. So if there's anybody that knows me, it's my maker. You know, the maker knows what he makes. So that's why I'll go to scripture for daily living. A lot of people, I just had something, I saw something on social media. I wish I could draw on it real fast, but they said something and I posted a reply on there and said, see, every single day the Bible proves that it's still relevant.
It is. It's so relevant. And that's one of the things that drives me to read it is that if I'm sad, I find something that makes me happy. If I'm happy, it finds me that something that's joyful. It's just so relevant. It applies to every age and every decade. And it hasn't gone out. I mean, I can't find any other book that can do that. Any other, even a movie that can do that, you know? It's right. Amazing.
You can't exhaust it.
No. And it just keeps on giving. You know, I tell people, if you read one verse when you're mad, it'll give you something. If you read it when you're happy, it'll give you something. When you're crying, when every emotion, if you read that same verse, you'll get something and everything will be towards hope. That's how you can do the best and the greater.
That's why they call it the living word. It's not stagnant.
You know? Amen. What's your favorite verse? Why? And what's your understanding of it?
I can't really say that I have a favorite. There's so many that I like over and over. But one that I do really like, I guess, is because I've been a singer-songwriter for most of my life. It's Colossians 3:16. You know, a lot of people understand and remember John 3:16. They'll even see that at a football game. But this is Colossians 3:16, where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So the reason I like all that is it encompasses quite a bit of the Christian message in one verse there, because the word of Christ, like we just talked about, is living. If you're letting that dwell in you richly in all wisdom, it is a way to gain wisdom. And then that helps you to teach and admonish others. And in this case, it's talking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which I love that little section there, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. It doesn't say faith comes by video or visual. It's coming by hearing. And so naturally, music is a great way to reach people's hearts with the grace of God.
Yes, it is. I am one of those receivers. I love, you know, gospel music. I love, you know, any kind of music. When I became a Christian, I was too attached to hip hop, and I told God, I'm like, well, I can't leave that. And he said, don't worry, let me convert some of these guys. And then, you know, and then, well, I love reggae too. And he's like, I just told you, let me convert some. So I just, and you know, that's how I began to give the word to my son. You know, I started listening to better music, which, you know, gospel music, and my daughter was singing them now. Now they're all singing the songs when they play on the radio. And it's like, okay, cool. They know the gospel one way or another. They're going to hear it, you know. So I truly, truly resonate with what you're saying. Is there anything else that you're feeding your soul right now besides the Bible, like books, devotionals, music, movies?
What I've really been delving into more is my Logos Bible software, because there's just a ton of helpful tools in there. There's just so much. I know I'll never reach the end of it. There's you know, ways to actually study Greek in there. There's ways to study the origin of the different words besides just the language, but where words originated and what they mean. And it's just a valuable, deep resource, Logos Bible software. And I'm not an affiliate, so it's not what I'm talking about it that way for.
No worries. Thank you so much for that recommendation. I'll take a look at it, and I'm always up for learning something new, you know, options that we never heard of. So thank you so much for that.
Sure.
What does the end of your day look like? What is the last thing that you do, sir?
Most of the time, I try for it to be this way, is that's more alone time with my wife. We love to have our dinner and talk. Sometimes that gets interrupted with family calling in. She's got a big family, like 5 sisters and 2 brothers and all that. So she gets calls, but typically we like to have our dinner and have our talk, and then maybe watch a movie, you know. We haven't had TV for over 6 years, so I couldn't even tell you what's on there. But we occasionally like to dive in, maybe find an old black and white movie or something like that, and then usually to bed by 10, so that if I'm getting up at 4, I at least have, you know, a decent amount of sleep.
Awesome. Thank you. What is one area you're seeking to surrender, or are you surrendering right now to the Lord, and why?
I thought of this one. I thought this over when I just now looked at that. I would say probably to focus more, instead of having my mind focus so much on what I'm going to do with business, how it would be more effective for those I'm trying to serve with it. So instead of thinking quite so much about how well doing better will serve me, maybe how much better I could serve others with it. And basically it all comes back down to that anyway, because we become willingly, we become servants of our Creator, and in turn we should have that that heart for others. So I guess sometimes I want to make sure that I'm turned, you know, tuned into that direction more.
This next question, it makes complete sense. It encompasses what we do. I think that I do the same. I don't want to have things too involved when I forget other things. I don't want to forget about Jesus just because I was too busy, you know. Mm-hmm. So I always want to make sure I'm making my first and foremost most important thing, and then with that we leak onto others, right? Because if we, I'm a firm believer that if I continue to imitate what he does, that leaks onto my family, and that makes them want to pursue him deeply. So no, I completely agree with what you're saying.
I want to be tastier salt. I want to be Celtic salt, not just Morton salt.
Yeah, you know, it's like fake salt, right? I get it. That's pretty good. I'm going to have to use that one. This next question, it means a lot to me just because God blessed me with community as soon as I became a believer. He gave me that, and that doesn't happen quite often. I've come to the realization by talking to others, but for you, how important is community in your life?
A community of like-minded believers is actually getting more and more difficult to find and to hold together these days, because things like what has gone on with all the pandemic, all that stuff, it actually has kept people more separate. And so that's getting more difficult to hold together these days. And it's important to stay connected with at least the closest ones that you can, and the ones that are really tuned into you, and you're tuned into them, and you're all tuned into what God wants us to do as believers together. They'll call. We'll call them. You know, that kind of stuff. We'll stay connected, but there will be plenty who will drift, and I fully expect that happens. As it's not always a case of absence makes the heart grow fonder. A lot of times, absence just becomes more absence, and the fact that we are more challenged doesn't mean that we can't rise to that challenge. And we can do that with the help of the Lord, obviously.
Amen to that. Before we get to the last two questions, I want to talk about a little bit about the projects that you have. I'm looking at your website, and that's one of the main reasons why I was inspired to send it to you. I was praying to the Lord, who do I start inviting? Share with us, if you don't mind, I know you've written books and you produce music. How did that came about? And what's your motivation? And anything you want to share about that, please?
Okay. I guess my music started, from as early as grade school. I could sing, so that carried over into having eventually a 25-year career as a professional musician, made my living doing it. And I didn't like the venues anymore, so I wanted to do something better with the music. My grandmother at my granddaddy's funeral told me when I was there, she saw that I was singing secular music, and she said, "You need to be singing for the Lord." And I've shared the story on my podcast how, what does grandmother know? I need to make money, and you can't make a living, singing for the Lord. Come on. And it turns out that you can actually do quite a bit and do some very wonderful things nowadays with all the technology, podcasting, and being able to have a website where people can come there and they can find your music. They can support you through, buying whatever it is you have to sell, which I do that for, supporting my family, but also to get messages out there. And I created a bunch of music for kids. Some of it's more with the Christian message, and other parts of it are just for fun, just for kids. And there's been a lot of that. And then on my podcast, I share a lot of the new songs that as I come out with them. I don't always share it in every episode, but I do share songs on there that are pretty much always in the, I guess, the Christian thing. There have been songs that I've shared on there just for the story of it that were more what you would call the secular music, but it's an opportunity, and I'm blessed to have an audience where people do tune in and tell me that they like what I'm doing right on there. That's wonderful. It's great what we have as, you know, people of the technology age, where you can do what you're doing right now. You and I connected through a couple of different ways this morning. When you see how fast you can change from one thing to another, you know, when there's a glitch, it's amazing. And the fact that we can use that to glorify the Lord, because none of this, absolutely zero of this, would even be possible if he didn't exist, because none of us would either.
Exactly. That's a great sentence. Thank you for that. I hope some unbelievers can click in by mistake and hear that, because that's true. You've mentioned the creator and the creation. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of days ago, and I said, I can explain to you maybe simply why God exists and how God exists and why he is so loving. I said, buy yourself a desk, but the instructions try to build me a bed. He said, what's impossible? And I said, exactly. So without God's creation, it's impossible for everything to exist. I said, we are inspired constantly because we're image bearers of Christ. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you're still created in his image. So by essence, you will leak out his love. And that's why a lot of people out there do good things. They create lovely things for others, make life easier for others. So that's like I told you, that's probably the easiest way I can explain it to you. You know, so we're designed to worship him.
That's right. We can't truly create anything, but we can manipulate what he has created. He's given us wonderful brains and abilities, and he loves to see what we can do with it, you know? Wow, I gave them electricity. Look, they've turned it into light bulbs. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's one of me and my friend joke all the time. We're like, when we get to heaven, we're going to be asking questions like, hey, Lord, what's going on with this one? They explained to me a tarantula. Like, how did that came about?
Yeah, what's that old duck-billed platypus thing about?
Yeah, Was this one of those, like, scratch that one, and then someone just passed it on, they forgot about it, scratching it, and you just, you know, created it because someone messed up there, you know? So, I don't know, it would be an amazing time, right? Talking to Abraham and all his forefathers.
Oh, man, yeah, we'll see that God's creativity is inexhaustive, and we'll be amazed.
I'm really, really interested in regards to your books. Could you share a little bit about that?
What I'm doing now, lately, actually, is what I've been doing is taking songs, turning them into songbooks. I self-publish on Amazon. I'm looking into other places too, but it's mostly on Amazon because the platform I'm very familiar with. I've helped a couple other people publish their books on there too. And what I do is take lyrics and publish that as a book, and then I have a super secret link inside the book where you can click, or actually you'll have to copy it because it's a paperback book, but you can copy the link and it'll take you to a free download of the songs. So I've used that tool as sort of like a 1-2 punch. You know, it gives you the physical book, but you can also get digital music that goes with it. That's been kind of where I've been with that here lately. So I took some of my recording, my compilations from way back. I have a CD called Do Right, that music from it still gets played on a local talk show here for the opening and closing. And it's been kind of a, I don't know, popular bunch of music with a small group of people. And this is another way for them to be able to get it without having to buy a physical CD, because those don't seem to be too popular anymore. But that's kind of where I've been going with that. But I also just have tried to give a lot of different opportunities. I mean, not opportunities, but a lot of different ways for people to access things digitally, you know, download, physical, all that.
Amazing. Thank you for that. And how can people find you online? Tell us the name of your website.
It's my name, TonyFundeberg.com. And just in case it doesn't come across clearly in a recording, it's not Thunderbird, like the car, but a Funderburk, F-U-N. Starts with fun and B-E-R-B-U-R-K. So it's all one thing, TonyFundeberg.com.
And how can we find your podcast? Is it also on the site, or do we go, is there a specific platform you use?
I'm on a lot of different platforms, so pretty much any major way that you get a podcast delivered to your player of choice, you can find me. I'm on Spotify, Apple, Google, all the major ones, Stitcher, they're all, it's on all of them. You could do a search for my name, or you could do a search for Rhyme and Reason. That's the name of the podcast, Rhyme and Reason with Tony Funderburg. Either search will find you that podcast.
You know, I'll make sure I put the links on the description of the video. That way, you know, your website, how to reach out to you through the podcasting and different links, I'll find out for you so people can, you know, listen to you and get to see the books and listen to your music. I think it's amazing. I had a chance to do it this morning before we jumped in, and I liked it. It's anything that glorifies God, it's amazing. It'll hit our hearts.
Well, thank you for that.
Tony, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that was mighty nice of you to say. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And I do a little bit of research, and you know, I that's why I was asking about the books. My daughter was looking at it, and she was looking at the glasses on the side, and she's like, I want that. I'm like, cool. Let's order it. She got mesmerized by the girl that's wearing the green pants and an orange shirt. And so, you know, we'll be purchasing that.
What's your daughter's name?
Cecilia.
Cecilia. I was trying to think, because I have a lot of personalized songs for kids. I don't remember if I have Cecilia's name, but I'll have to see if I can remedy that.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. She loves music. She loves gospel music, and she always calls it Jesus music. So, you know, when we get in a car, she's always like, can you put Jesus music? I'm like, yeah, let's put Jesus music. We should.
That's better than her wanting to play some loud something else. Yeah,
it's, I always encourage it. I'm like, you said Jesus music? Jesus music it is, you know? What hope can you leave behind for listeners? What's something that it's in your heart that you want to leave behind for someone?
I know that a lot of people these days can feel isolated. You know, they can feel that there's really, they don't have hope. They can think that if they're not really paying attention, and even if you think there's no hope in your life, if you just concentrate on, do you feel that you have a capacity to love? Even if you don't feel that you can right now love, do you feel that you have that capacity? Because you know you can love, and if you know that you can love, that proves you have hope, because like 1 Corinthians 13, where, you know, it's talking about love, all the things, 13:7 says that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. So if you can love, you can hope, and you're never without hope. And you can love because you are loved by the one who made you.
That is such an amazing verse. It's a good reminder for all of us as well, you know, to, if we have the capacity to love, you know. In the last interview, I was talking to, you know, somebody, and we were discussing that it takes much more energy to have anger and bitterness in our hearts than to have love.
Right, just like they say, it takes a lot more muscles in your face to frown than it does to smile.
Right, like that is by design, right?
It seems like it would be to me, yes.
Yeah, so it's like, that's how God created us. He's like, okay, so you want to be mad? Cool. I'm going to make it harder by designing your muscles and your face to make it harder, right? Then to smile. And then I said, if we try to give that grace and mercy we ask constantly and daily, we start seeing people in a different light and just being like, yeah, just as broken as I am, I'm going to let this one go.
And it's amazing how love is the one thing that the more you give it away, the more you have.
Yeah, it is. Well, Tony, thank you so much for taking the time off. I appreciate it for, you know, the little mishaps that we had, that you remained here and happy and joyful through this time. Thank you so much for this interview. You know, please thank your bride for allowing this time as well. Is there anything else you want to discuss or anything you want to talk about?
No, that's fine. I appreciate the time to be on here with you, Pablo. It's been a real pleasure. You sound like someone who has a lot of love in your heart for the Lord, too. And that's amazing that you have taken the time to put something together to share it with others.
Thank you. And you do as well. You know, you sharing music and books and just being there for others. I think that's what we're called about, right? To be the body of Christ. So when someone needs something, we're right there for them. So I want to extend my help for anything that I could do for you. Let me know. I'm here. You know, we'll support each other through this.
I'd be glad to. Thank you very much again.
I hope you are filled as much as I was filled through this interview. What an amazing follower of Christ. Just amazing wisdom. Hopefully you got the same that I did, that we can do this. Anyways, thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode and any of our episodes on social media. You can find us at Benching in the Kitchen. Drop us a message there, a note, a review, a question, or if you want to be interviewed, reach out to us at rescueforgivensaved@gmail.com. Once again, thank you so much for listening. May God bless you on your path, and may you be encouraged and bold in Christ. Thank you so much, guys. Till the next episode.